This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Halflings, before we get into this week's episode, we have some new patrons that we would love to thank. So, Jeremizzle Cobizzle, why don't you go ahead and thank some patrons?
Alrighty. First up on the docket, we have Jonathan Love. Next, we have Meryl B. Smietana. After that, Clutterbook, but with an E at the end.
I like that.
Like ye old Clutterbook. Next, we have backwards bracket, capital V, forward bracket, AR, closed bracket, and then the squiggly bracket.
I was going to call that squiggly bracket as well. I was wondering what you were going to go with. Was going to go with squiggly bracket as well.
I don't actually know what the proper name for it is.
No,
but me neither.
I'm just going to say Mark?
Var.
That's how I'm going to say their name. Thank you,
Isn't
Var.
Isn't it Mark?
Is that Mark? Oh, you're right.
That's Mark.
That is Mark. It's a really elaborate way of styling Mark. Wow.
You Nazi OG spotting there. Hey, Mark.
Swooping in.
Yeah. Not
that was
Mark.
Beautiful.
Amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you, Var Mark.
Thank you, Var Mark.
And next, Willa. Thank you, Willa. And finally, for my part of the list, Christian Cullen. I guess distant Woo-hoo. Relative of Edward and his family. Mm.
Shiny oh,
two.
Lord.
Shiny too. You know, that's what you got for us.
I've got a lovely Terry Osborne. A Sam.
Related to Harry.
Yes.
Distant cousin to Harry and Norman.
A Sam Taz. I like that name.
Related to the devil. Tasmanian devil, that is.
Yes, that one. A Heidi B. Close relation of Cardi B.
Yeah, the B family.
The B family, the well-known B family.
Glenn Wadley. Mm-hmm. And I checked that's apparently how you say it. I'm sorry if I butchered it. And Road Diet's Rule.
Road Diet's
so it's
Rule?
Like a road diet, like when you just eat nothing but crisps and soda.
Yeah, maybe.
I was thinking that you eat asphalt. Like you eat actual composition of the road.
Maybe.
I don't think you would gain much fat. You might gain weight.
Yeah, you're really bad on the incisors and the molars.
With undigestible materials.
You would literally die. You would just die. Yeah. You would cease to be.
But you know, the time you spent in the hospital, I feel like you would lose weight from like your muscles atrophying and everything. In the end, it ends up being an effective, if very unhealthy, diet plan.
Diet.
Yeah, nothing tastes
Moving
as good
on,
as skinny feels for like
my
2 minutes.
Section of the list, I would like to thank Delia. Thank you, Delia.
I think it's Delilah, my man.
What?
Delilah.
It's
I'm
Delilah.
So sorry.
Look, listen, I have an issue where I read that as Delilah, and I would like to apologize to you, Delilah, for misreading your name. Erica. Erica Valdebinos. Amazing name. I love that. Valdebinos. Ted Randall and ShanWow 1987. Or one
Ted Randall sounded like one person.
I would just like to point out that it's Ted.
That's two people.
Ted and Randall.
Thank you, Ted and Randall.
And ShanWow. That's a great name.
ShanWow. So thank you so
Vince.
Much.
I miss Vince. Did you guys get the ShanWow commercials?
No. What's a ShanWow?
Oh, man. Okay, so like late 2000s. Early 2010s, there was like this big infomercial in the United States. This guy Vince was advertising a product called the Sham Wow, which was a chamois, like a towel that's just hyper absorbent. And he was just like this really effective, really enthusiastic salesperson. He became like a big meme, and then he got put in prison for some reason. I forget why.
Oh my God.
I remember seeing a mugshot where he'd been like beaten up. and he got put in prison.
I'm sorry.
Not like badly beaten up. He'd gotten in an altercation with somebody. So he had like a partly black eye and stuff. I don't remember the whole deal with Vince from ShamWow. But those commercials were good. They were actually pretty entertaining. He was like, he really made you go ShamWow. Like, he was an effective salesperson. I'm going to send you the video for those. so that you can watch it. Because it's actually legit.
That shocking revelation, we will segue into this week's episode. Hello, halflings! It's me, Jasper William Cartwright, and I am joined today by...
Luyando Onati Lewis Nyaw, but everybody calls me... the Mother of Dragons. No, Onati.
Very cool. Very cool. I'll call you the Mother of Dragons and...
Jeremy Cobb, the emphysema halfling, along with Onati.
Literally, it's my smoker's lung.
Yes, we are the tuberculosis halflings. But I'm going to muscle my way through my consumption and tell you that Precious calls me Jeremy Cobb, but with one B.
One
I love
B.
Precious. Oh, come on, yes. Precious. Thank you for bringing this little shout out to Precious.
I actually think, I know that in Italian, that would actually result in a different pronunciation of my last name. Assuming that, like, it had, because Italian words don't end with consonants typically. I don't know if any of them do, but they pronounce double letters. So, the double B would get more emphasis. So, I think it would be like probably Cobo or something like that to Cobo.
God.
This is the wrong dungeon and the wrong dragon.
Full prince vibe? Woof!
This makes them even more black!
Cake glitches and pitches.
And lands in the cusp of a teaspoon.
Oh, no!
On a nat 20.
No!
You think this is just a game?
That's disgusting and I love it.
Yeah. We're about to get into something real big now. Okay, so this week we are doing another deep dive. We've done a spellcaster, we've done a martial class, and so this week we're doing a more versatile class, a combination of the two, if you will, a mixed martial, mixed spellcasting class, and that is the oft maligned Ranger class, which has gone through quite a few sort of, I'd say probably like the most tampered with class. In 5e, a lot of good reasons.
Somehow surpassing the cleric.
Yeah.
Because with the cleric's like 15 subclasses trying to get people to play clerics.
Play clerics.
No, you don't have to just heal people. You can do all these other things.
You could be a horrible cleric and do the opposite of healing people, drain the life out of them.
Yeah, you can just kill people. You can hit them with weapons.
What do you want from me? I've given you everything.
We will give you every possibility to play every other class as a cleric.
Cleric.
Literally, that's what they've done. We're here to talk about all things Ranger. Jeremy as well is going to be whilst we talk about the Ranger that we have on in sort of like the core rules. We also have the revised Ranger, which is UA, I believe. That's where you can find it. Where it is. We'll also be going through that as well, just because there's some features on there that might be good. Before we dive in really quickly, like overall thoughts on the Ranger, I actually was very pleasantly surprised. When I was looking through and doing some research today, with a lot of the revisions, a lot of the Tasha's stuff involved, I was like, okay, this seems like a very fun class. It feels like a fun class mechanically for me to play, because I know from my experiences of having Rangers in my games, it's been often a very tricky thing to balance, having a Ranger and making it feel like a rewarding experience for them, mm-hmm. short of just throwing their favored enemy or favored terrain at them all the time.
I have a list of critiques for this class already lined up.
Oh,
should I jump in now or should I wait?
We'll go through, and then you can do them at the opportune moments. You can sort of when something arises. Okay.
I'll say the first one.
Give us a thought though. Yeah.
My first thought is that the basic idea of the Ranger is really really cool. It's basically play Aragorn. There you go.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to be Aragorn? I didn't. I hated him when I was a child. Not the movies,
so
just
clearly,
the books.
Okay, so there's
I read
no
these
bias
books when
here,
I was eight
right?
years old, and for whatever reason, I always hated Aragorn. I don't know why. I just really did. But I think the basic idea is really, really cool, but the application is much too situational and downright underpowered in some cases, Beastmaster being the most notoriously egregious example. But we'll see as we go through, some of these abilities, while really good in the right circumstances, are completely useless in a lot of other circumstances.
Yeah.
In some cases, most.
And I would say requires a lot of player DM discussion about like allowing certain things to be in the game, including the subclass that I'm going to be talking about later today in this episode. So definitely something that is worth considering when talking about the Ranger. I think it's also worth mentioning just at the top of this episode that if you enjoy this episode and you will realize we're only going to cover three subclasses in the main episode. We're going to do the rest of them over on our Patreon, so feel free to head over to there if you want to find out what the rest of the subclasses do and get our thoughts on them. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to the Ranger class and its features. We're going to be cutting across between me and Jeremy, because Jeremy's going to be looking at the revised Ranger whilst I look at the sort of core Ranger rules. But as we go through here, so we've got, you get a D10 for your hit points, which is okay, which is...
It's very good for a martial class.
It's pretty good.
It's what you get for the with the fighter.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's the second
highest. I always thought a fighter was D12.
Game.
I didn't know why I thought
only
fighter
barbarians
was a
D12. Are
D12s. Is it? Wow. Well, there you go. In which case, yes, very good. Very, very good.
Yeah.
You are proficient in light armor, medium armor, shields, simple weapons, martial weapons, and your saving throws are strength and dexterity. And you can choose from three skills. You can have three skills from the following list, which is animal handling, athletics, insight, investigation, nature, perception, stealth, or survival. I think it's worth saying you probably want to max out, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jeremy, you probably want to be maxing out your dexterity first, then your wisdom.
Well, it depends on which one you're going, because rangers can use any weapon.
You could
just as easily do strength. The downside with doing strength is that you are only proficient in medium armor. So, in contrast to the fighter or the paladin, both of which can wear heavy armor, your AC is just never going to be as high.
I mean, shields could be
fun. And it can be good. Yeah, like it can work, but it's not as effective in melee as the other ones. Which is where we run into the first problem, because it can't decide whether it was to be ranged or close combat.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, like from a pop culture reference play, it's a terrible film, but okay. Snow White and the Huntsman, like so, like it's a huntsman situation. You know what I mean? Like if you want to like run like a massive axe into something, but still be a ranger, you could do that. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you could be a distance fighter or distance using, guns or usually bows and arrows, usually not guns. But
again,
you know,
terrible film, Robin Hood, that one with that guy from Kingsman. Oh, God.
Do you mean?
Yeah. Taron Egerton.
Oh, yeah, the Taron Egerton.
With Jamie Foxx. Our boy Jamie Foxx again.
Honestly, any Robin Hood would either be a rogue or a ranger, I think, in most incarnations.
Maybe not the
Russell Crowe one. I haven't seen that movie, but it looks like it's a little less rangery. But Robin Hood, for instance. Probably a ranger.
I did actually think when I was looking through all of this, I kind of thought like ranger almost feels a bit like a multi-class without multi-classing. You know, in the sense that it's kind of got like, it's got real flavors of other things. But I guess that's kind of like, I mean, that could be fun for some people, because multiclassing can get very confusing and it's very easy to like get it wrong, in the sense that you can very easily find yourself two sessions in and going, oh, this just mechanically is horrible. So that's kind of nice. And I feel like it does give you a lot of options. You can play a ranger in drastically different ways, having looked at some of these subclasses, especially. So let's just go through some of the abilities that are worth, really worth talking about. And again, Jeremy, just feel free to jump in. We've got favored enemy. And now this is one of the much maligned abilities for a good reason, I think. So starting at level one, you have significant experience studying, tracking, hunting, and even talking to certain types of enemies. You can choose from a favorite type of enemy, which is aberrations, beasts, celestials, constructs, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, giants, monstrosities, oozes, plants. Plants or undead.
Any type, basically.
Yeah, so any of the types.
Literally any type.
Yeah, of
pick
one.
Because it's, everything falls into one of those categories.
You can also pick humanoids.
Yes, oh yes, you can also pick humanoids, which for some reason... Oh yes, alternatively you can select two races of humanoids, which again... The main issue with this one is it's super restrictive, and again, it really, really, really situational. Like, super situational. Yeah. It's like, you'd be really tempted to pick dragons because it's cool, but there's also not a great deal of, like, dragon variants in the game, so it's actually very unlikely you're going to be running into dragons, like, every week, unless you're doing, like, a dragon-based campaign. With humanoids, like, you're picking two different types, but, I mean, again, you don't know what the DM's going to throw at you, and so it's very easy for your ranger to end up feeling like... there's nothing extra I can do.
Kind
here.
Of inconsequential.
And what does favorite enemy give you? What advantages do you get with these very specific niche types?
So vexed by this. He's like, so what do you
get? Jeremy is ready to go in on this right now. So you gain advantage on wisdom or survival checks to track your favorite enemy, as well as intelligence checks to recall information about them, which I feel like... That's one issue I have. You should just know that information. Why would you need to recall it? If this is your favorite enemy that you have studied for however long, you should just be able to recall it.
If the player doesn't know, then they're like, hey, can I... Like,
but why would
I
you have that ability?
Anything about...
Like, if you studied a thing already, you should be able to recall the information about the thing.
I don't
thing.
Have a problem with that aspect of it. It's just none of this is useful in a combat scenario. These are your favored enemies. Your enemies, not people that you know about. Like, this isn't your special interests. You didn't just read a bunch about these people. You're trying to kill them.
Yeah.
So
like,
why is there
prey.
Nothing...
They're your favorite enemy.
There is there's nothing combat... you also gain you can gain a language associated with one of your favorite enemies, so you can talk to them before
you
kill
them.
Okay. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, because rangers big time charisma. So,
yeah,
like,
huge charisma scores on these rangers.
Like, this is, in concept, the idea of having a specific enemy that you are especially good against is not a bad idea per se. But the problem is that it locks you into a few specific choices. I mean, you get more choices as you gain levels, but you only ever get, what, 1, 2, 3, 4. You only get 4 for the entire game.
Yeah. Well, so what does the revised ranger give us, Jeremy? So if you were interested in using the revised ranger, which I wouldn't be against taking a look at if you want to spice it up, we will be throwing out the optional features from Tasha's as well. But why don't we just... Because I think they have pretty much cross-for-cross versions, right? Favorite enemy, what do we get?
Favorite enemy gives you everything that you would normally get. So you get the advantage on survival checks to track them, intelligence checks to recall information about them, you learn the language, but... You also get a +2 bonus to damage rolls with weapon attacks against creatures of that type. So you're actually good at fighting them too. Now, is +2 incredible? No, but it's better than
nothing. It's better than nothing.
Especially at low levels. Like, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty good.
At low levels, when you're fighting creatures with, like, 30 to 50 hit points, an extra 2 goes a long way for every attack. You know what I mean? That's it. It goes a long way.
It adds up. Rage. It adds up.
Yes, absolutely. It's like a little rage. Still very situational, but, it's better.
It's a slight improvement.
I would also say as well, just as a little tidbit as well, that generally I'd say like probably fiends and undead would be a good one to pick if you're just trying, if you don't really have that much backstory on the campaign.
But are they going to use fiends? Undead,
maybe,
I agree with.
Maybe undead would probably be the best. I would say undead
and
probably
beasts?
Is the...
At low levels, beasts is almost always going to be a big thing.
I feel like beasts, because they're always low level, I feel like past level 5, there's nothing beast related that you're going to come up against and struggle with. Like, there's nothing you're going to need any extra help with. The only reason I say fiends is at high levels, there's quite a lot of fiendish monsters, like, you know, a lot of like underworldy hellish monsters who have a lot of like resistances and things like that. So it might be useful if you can recall a bit. Like, that might be where it's actually useful if you can recall.
Monstrosity
like,
is not bad either.
Monstrosity, yeah, could be useful.
There are a lot of monstrosities, even at higher levels.
Yeah. Don't pick plants. that's a hot tip. That would be
unless it's a plant heavy campaign.
unless you're going to be running into loads of blights.
What is it? Shambling mounds are really good. Like, those are cool. Those are cool enemies.
But it's like one.
there's some good plants, but it's really not. Yeah. I agree.
So the optional class feature, the favorable foe. This is a Tasha's item, optional thing, which replaces that. And when you hit a creature with an attack roll, you can call on your mystic bond with nature to mark the target as your favorite enemy for 1 minute or until you lose your concentration. So it's like basically casting a concentration spell. The first time on each of your turns you hit your favorite enemy, you do an extra 1d4 of damage. You can use this equal to the number of times of your bonus, proficiency bonus, and you regain all uses at the end of a long rest, and your damage increases to a d6 at 6th, d8 at 14th. It's more versatile.
But it's a worse Hunter's Mark. And you can't cast it with Hunter's Mark at the same time.
Because Hunter's Mark is also concentration?
Yeah. Hunter's Mark gives you a d6 to every single attack. Like, every single damage roll.
How many times can you cast Hunter's Mark? I mean, it's...
The difference is that Hunter's Mark gives you a bonus to every single attack. This gives you the damage, a bonus to damage for the first attack.
The only time I can imagine this being very useful is if you are completely spent and out of spells. And therefore, didn't want to use a Hunter's Mark for instead of one of your spell slots. That's the only time where I'm like, I would use that over a Hunter's Mark. Every other time you'd use Hunter's Mark. So I would say, like, if I was being a gracious DM or I was like, I had someone who wanted to build a ranger, I would say for most of these, like, pick one of the three options. Do you know what I mean? As opposed to just one or two. I think that the revised ranger, it's also, you know, UA. I mean, it's pretty much there. And like, I think you'd mentioned off air, Jeremy, that a lot of the stuff they used in the revised ranger UA has ended up in the Tasha's stuff anyway, so
I think actually it's worth us explaining what Hunter's Mark is, because it is the definitive ranger spell.
It is the spell.
It's a first level spell. You choose a creature that you can see within range and mystically mark it as your quarry. Well, this is within 90 feet of you. Until the spell ends, you deal an extra 1d6 damage to the target whenever you hit it with a weapon attack, and you have advantage on any perception or survival check you make to find it. If the target drops to 0 hit points before the spell ends, you can use a bonus action on a subsequent turn of yours to mark a new creature. And the spell, it's concentration, but it lasts for up to an hour. Mm. And it's a bonus action to cast. So first turn, you can bonus action Hunter's Mark a creature. If you are level 5 or above, hit it twice, do an extra 2d6 damage to it. Mm-hmm. Once that creature goes down, you use a bonus action to mark another creature in the fight. It's a good spell.
It's a very good spell.
The staple of the ranger.
Yep.
Mm. And I would like to make my second point, which is Hunter's Mark should be an ability. Should be a spell.
Yeah.
Is it good? Yes, it's very, very good. But you know what else is really, really good? Rage. Rage is really, really good.
Yeah,
and frankly,
sure.
I don't think Hunter's Mark is any better. Hunter's Mark may give you more damage, but Rage also halves most of the damage that you would be taking.
Yes.
And depending on the subclass
for a barbarian
you pick,
is the whole is very shebang,
point,
right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
If you took that away, barbarians wouldn't be so good, and I would say it's exactly the same for this.
And a huge part of the ranger is being able to, like, track and focus in on one specific enemy and do a bunch of, like, focus all your power on that foe. They could have just made favored foe a Hunter's Mark, essentially.
Give you Hunter's Mark plus per your proficiency.
And that way you don't have to pick exactly one type of enemy that's your favored foe.
Mm-hmm.
You can then, like, you can pick a new one and you study that. You know what I mean?
It,
yeah.
Yeah, it's...
The only slight adjustment, maybe, that you just to balance it out, maybe as a if you change target, like it's another use. Like, I mean, if you wanted to be a real stickler about it, but I still think it's not that bad.
I think bonus action switch it.
Yeah,
because for rage, they don't make you do crazy stuff with rage.
Well, I guess you drop out of rage after you. Do you know what I mean? There's like ways of dropping out of rage. Where if it lasted for an hour, I guess it's concentration though. So you still gotta.
I'd say cut it to a minute, maybe.
Yeah. But you'd still have to maintain like constant. Would you still have to maintain concentration on it? Yeah. So I mean, yeah. Actually, if you still got to maintain concentration, then hell yeah, let it last for an hour. Plus, also could be fun just in terms of like. But this is, I think, this is probably something that's worth mentioning. DMs, if you have a ranger, and this is very much coming from. Experience. If you have a ranger, like, try and find ways to like reward your ranger or incentivize them to be a ranger. Just because I know I definitely struggled with this when I first started, and often found myself just being like, "Hey, here's a new bow," and that was just like the only reward I ever gave to my ranger. But like, do stuff like give them, you know, if someone like you're trying to track someone in a city, like that is absolutely something that a ranger should be like. You should incentivize a ranger to like take the lead on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, instead of trying to like incentivize them to do it the same way round, maybe give them a like chance to like, if they get a good survival check or something, like, you know, they could notice a little path of destruction, or, you know, some people looking disheveled, or do you know what I mean? There's other ways I feel like you can track, as opposed to just like, there's a twig broken here, and then, you know, like full Aragorn mode where you sniff some grass and you know that there were hobbits here. But yeah, I just thought
really it was, smelly hobbits,
man. Really, really smellier than the goblins and the orcs that were attacking them. But there
I
we
smell
are.
Hobbit musk.
Speaking
a hobbit
of
this territory.
speaking of sprayed, a hobbit is sprayed here. Speaking of using your
the
environment and I'm gonna keep moving on.
That's what spraying is,
I'm enjoying
folks.
Watching you try, Jasper. I'm really enjoying
I made this scenario. I made this scenario. So, natural explorer. You are particularly familiar with one type of natural environment, and you are adept at traveling and surviving in such region. You can choose one of the following favored terrains: Arctic, coast, desert, forest, grassland, mountain, swamp, or the Underdark. When you make an intelligence or wisdom check related to your favorite terrain, your proficiency bonus is doubled if you are using a skill that you are proficient in, and then you get a bunch of benefits like difficult terrain doesn't slow your whole group down. Your group cannot become lost except by magical means, even when you are in engaged with another activity whilst traveling. You remain alert to danger. If you are traveling alone, you can move more stealthily at a normal pace. When you forage, you can find twice as much food as you normally would, and whilst tracking other creatures, you can also learn the exact number, their sizes, and how long they passed through this area. You can choose additional favorite terrains at 6th and 10th level. Like, my thought would be there's some very cool things in there, but it's so specific again. This is where I feel like it comes down to the DM rewarding your ranger here. Do you know what I mean? Like, if your ranger has picked Arctic, then find an excuse for them to be in the Arctic and give them a bunch of stuff they can pick up on. And I completely agree. Jeremy's sighing, and I agree with the sigh. It shouldn't be on the DM to try this hard to like make a player have fun.
You know what the DM should do?
The DM should
pick Natural Explorer.
There we go.
Excuse me, not pick Natural Explorer. The DM should pick... should let the player play Revised Ranger, where they get the ability Natural Explorer, where they get all of that to all environments, plus... they ignore difficult terrain, they have advantage on initiative rolls, and on their first turn during combat, they have advantage on attack rolls against creatures that have not yet acted.
Damn.
That's a good ability.
That's a good ability.
That's spicy.
There we go.
That makes you super useful.
Yeah.
You're now like a beast in combat and out of combat.
Yeah, that makes you a fantastic utility player. Like, to have a ranger in the party... That is very useful. That is hella
useful.
Yeah,
so much
like
easier.
From what I'm hearing, that just makes you a ranger. Like, I feel like that just makes you a ranger.
Thank
the
you.
The person who likes nature. Like, I don't...
I can see what they were going for originally with this class, but when you sit there and you go, and the idea, right, that, like, that you are someone who can survive, you have all of this ability in the Arctic, yet you go to the coast... And suddenly, I don't know. I got nothing.
I can't imagine. Oh, sand!
This one in me. I don't like sand. It's rough and coarse and irritating. It gets everywhere.
Jeremy, that is 1d4 of necrotic damage to you, my friend. I'm sorry, but I can't let that happen on this show.
I would say ignoring difficult terrain, advantage on initiative rolls, and having an advantage on attack rolls against creatures that haven't acted might be OP. Maybe just ignore difficult terrain, and then maybe one of the other two. But like...
Well, I think if it's not magically difficult terrain, like if a creature has created difficult terrain, I feel like it wouldn't work for that. No,
it just says you ignore difficult terrain.
Oh, okay, Jesus.
There are cases where that might stipulate.
I'd say if it was magical difficult terrain. So like if it was a lair or something, I would say no, you don't get it here because this isn't a naturally occurring thing. This is made thing. But like otherwise I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really I feel like it doesn't come up too often, the difficult terrain one. Like you've got to be on it as a DM if you're juggling like 5 NPCs, enemies, you know, the PCs, and then you're like, oh, also there's difficult terrain here, here, and here, and here, you know, which is yet again another reason why Ranger can be kind of difficult, just because as a DM you've got to do a lot of work. Do we have a replacement in Tasha's?
Yes,
we have the Deft Explorer. This is kind of cool. The Deft Explorer stuff is kind of cool.
Yeah, this actually is really cool.
This is very cool. So you have surpassed Explorer and Survivor, both in the wilderness and dealing with others on your travels. You gain the canny benefit below, and you gain additional benefits below when you reach 6th and 10th level. So... canny is a first level ability. You choose one of your proficiencies. Your proficiency bonus is doubled for any ability check that you make with the chosen skill. You can also speak, read, and write in 2 additional languages. I mean,
it's pretty good.
Pretty cool.
Pretty good.
Expertise on just any skill that you're proficient in is not bad.
And I guess you could probably take a feat which would give you expertise. Could you then double that? I mean, just saying. If you want to really piece out.
You can't double expertise, but you could get you could eventually take the expertise. I think there's a feat where you could get expertise on another skill.
Okay. It's just because it didn't use expertise in the language of the spell. It just said your proficiency is doubled. So I was like, does that mean that I could use that on expertise? Because they haven't specified that it is expertise, which I know can't be sacked.
Yeah, let me see.
That's the only reason I said it is because they haven't put expertise
in
there.
I'm going to look up expertise real quick.
I love a bit of shenanigans, you know? And if I can get like a plus 15 to a skill check or something, then that would be great.
I'm looking right now. I'm going to see if I can find expertise. Choose two of your skill proficiencies. Yeah, it doesn't say.
I'm going to say...
It's doubled. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Theoretically, you might be able to stack it if the DM is real generous.
It's real generous. The only reason I say it is purely because it doesn't say the word expert. It doesn't say you gain expertise. It says a proficiency is doubled when you make an ability check. So I'm like, well, I mean...
Well...
Okay.
Left that pretty open.
That'd be insane.
I'll quickly just go through the rest of these Deft Explorer ones as well. So you also get a 6th level, you get roving. Your walking speed increases by 5. You gain a climbing speed and a swimming speed equal to your walking speed. That could be hella useful. There's a lot of situations I could see that being very useful. You know, if you're that every campaign ends up underwater at some point, like not having your speed halved, very useful, like very, very useful, makes you so much more mobile. And then at 10th level, you get Tireless. So as an action, you can give yourself a number of temporary hit points equal to your to 1d8 plus your wisdom modifier. You can use this as an action a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses after the end of a long rest. In addition, when you finish a short rest, your exhaustion level, if any, is decreased by 1. I love this. This is so funny. Oh my god, I'm so hungry and dehydrated. Quick nap, and I feel good.
I'm used to this.
You're just that tough.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. Because like that for me is like the main reason of like that would cause exhaustion. I'm like, you could take little naps and do restful things during the day, but it's like if you don't eat or drink, that's gonna But just a little nap and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Love that. Love that.
Oh, by the way, I looked it up. Jeremy Crawford has officially said that in the player handbook, page 173, you do not get to double dip with proficiency bonuses. Unfortunately, they do not stack.
Jeremy
Crawford! Yeah. But, I mean, it's still a good ability.
Makes sense. It makes sense. I know some characters have like plus 11s or something. It would be ridiculous if you could then double that or so, I don't know. But like, it clearly wouldn't work. It would be broken. But yeah, that's kind of cool. I kind of like that. 10th hit points. It's just like a little free hit of a thing. I don't know at 10th level if 1d8 plus your wisdom does a whole lot, just because most things that hit you are going to burn through that very quickly. I feel like that I would, like, I don't know, I almost feel like that would be better at lower level, you know, if you could get that at, like, if you swap roving and tireless round, that'd be cool. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just because I feel like roving's going to be useful at all levels. Tireless, I'm like, yeah, it becomes less useful up, you know, because your proficiency modifier is probably like a plus 3 or 4, so you're looking at a maximum of like 12 hit points. Most things do more than 12 damage if they hit you at that point. So that would be my only, you know.
Yeah, max of 13.
Max of 13. Sorry, yes. Yeah, that would be my thoughts.
We should not read through all of the fighting styles.
No, we should not.
Just check them out.
They're not worth going through. They get a whole bunch of spells.
It's worth saying that because they're a mixed spellcaster, they gain new levels of spells much slower than primary spellcasters. And spell slots, they also have fewer spell slots than primary spellcasters often do. They just get them slower. You only ever get up to 5th level spells.
Mm-hmm.
With this, and that's, you don't get a 5th level spell to level 17, but you're also not going to be usually relying majorly on your spells, other than like Hunter's Mark, maybe Goodberry, I don't know, there's probably a few other ones. Goodberry's a good spell.
Goodberry's a very good spell.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. I'm trying to think if we've got any of these other abilities.
A 3rd level. I mean, you get the primeval awareness or primal awareness. I think primeval awareness is something that you get also with the revised ranger.
Revised ranger.
I think it's worth just going through the abilities just so people know.
Yeah. It's absolutely. Not
like there's. Yeah.
So we have, primeval awareness, you can use your action to expend one of your ranger spell slots to focus your awareness on the region around you, and for 1 minute per level that you cast a spell slot you can sense whether the following types of creatures are present within 1 mile, or within 6 miles if you're in your favorite terrain. It's aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fae, fiends, and undead, so it's like obviously just not humanoids, because that would be, you'd be pinging off everywhere probably. This feature doesn't reveal creatures' location or number, just whether they're there. Could be useful. It's kind of like what would I describe it as? It kind of feels like it would be good to know what you're coming up against, like,
yeah,
the big bad's on the other side of this door. Hold on, it's a celestial.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's fun. That might, you know, that's useful.
In contrast, the primeval awareness from the revised ranger lets you basically, you can communicate with beasts as an action. Through sounds and gestures, you can communicate simple ideas to them and read their basic mood and intent. You learn their emotional state, whether it's affected by magic of any sort, its short-term needs, such as food or safety, and actions you can take, if any, to persuade it not to attack. You cannot use this ability against a creature that you have attacked within the past 10 minutes. And additionally, you can attune your senses to determine if any of your favorite enemies lurk nearby by spending one uninterrupted minute in concentration, as if you were concentrating on a spell. You can sense whether any of your favorite enemies are present within 5 miles of you. Not 1 mile, 5 miles. It reveals which of your favorite enemies are present, their numbers, and the creature's general direction and distance in miles from you.
Ooh, that's a lot
better. If there are multiple groups of them, of your favorite enemies, you learn this information for each group. Yeah, much better.
That's a lot better. Yeah.
It's not broken. Like, it's good for tracking. It just makes you really good at tracking.
You're a ranger. It's literally your job.
It's your job, yeah. And that's also you're getting advantage, right? Because you're tracking your favorite enemy. So if you know the general direction, you can then start tracking them. You have advantage on survival checks to track them. You probably have a pretty decent score in survival if you're a ranger because you've got high wisdom. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. I like that. Beautiful. So there is another option via Tasha's, an optional feature, which do you want to go ahead and do that one, Inati, the primal awareness?
Yes, primal awareness, parentheses, optional. This third level feature replaces the primeval awareness feature. You gain no benefit from the replace feature and don't qualify for anything in the game that that requires it. You can focus your awareness through the interconnections of nature. You learn additional spells when you reach certain levels in this class if you don't already know them, as shown in the Primal Awareness Spells table. These spells don't count against the number of ranger spells you know. So at third level, wow, it's not even Friday. At third level, you gain Speak with Animals. At fifth, you gain Beast Sense. Ninth, Speak with Plants. 13th, locate creature, and 17th, commune with nature.
Nice.
But there's more. You missed the crux of this one.
Yeah.
You can cast each of these spells once without expending a spell slot. Yeah. Once you cast a spell in this way, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest. Rude! Sorry.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's a good ability. It's basically reproducing the primeval awareness from the revised ranger. Okay. Instead of you just like communicating, it now lets you cast Speak with Animals. You can just straight talk to them. Yeah. Instead of being like, where are they? You can now just cast Locate Creature.
They're there.
And being able to cast commune with nature just once per long rest is very good. It's a good spell, commune with nature. Like it's got some useful features.
You don't get it till 17th level, sadly.
That is true. 17th level is a long time to wait for it.
And Locate Creature is less good than what the revised ranger gets, where you're like 5 miles, they're 3.7 miles away, due southeast.
And there's four other people with them, and then yeah.
Locate Creature is great. It's essentially the RuPaul's Drag Race. Look over there. And that was for you, Jade.
Jade will appreciate this.
Look over there.
Jade will appreciate this.
Yeah, but it's only 1,000 feet. The range is only 1,000 feet, not even a single mile, not even a quarter of a mile. Pitiful.
That's really pitiful. That's not even a quarter mile. Wow.
Yeah, it's less than a fifth of a mile, actually.
So we have up next ability score improvement. That's what you can get. We all know how these work.
I think the ranger gets like a standard number, because there are some classes like the fighter that gets more ability score improvements. The ranger just gets a pretty standard number. The next ability that you get is worth looking at, because this is a pretty decent Tasha's thing that actually I think basically every single martial class gets now with Tasha's as an optional thing. Every time you reach a level in the class that gives you an ability score improvement feature, you can replace your fighting style. You can just change it. So if you've been running with archery and you're like, you know what, I'd rather use a rapier instead of a bow, you can switch to dueling. If you've been using a rapier mistakenly, you can be like, I think archery might be the better option.
Yeah. I think that's an option that seems to work across a lot of, because a lot of spellcasters get like a sort of versatile option added in as well. I think, yeah, it's useful. It's helpful.
That's fun. But I think that will also like work really well narratively, though, because like, let's say you were like ranged before and at one with nature, and then all of a sudden the world did you wrong and now you want to like stab your enemies close contact face to face. I think if the class allows for that mechanically, that's fun.
Yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. So that's at fourth level. Then we head over. You get an extra attack at fifth level. Mm-hmm. Always fun, always useful. Mm-hmm. If you go for that two weapon fighting, that's three attacks, all of which get add your ability modifier. That's quite good. You're slinging a fair bit.
Three Hunter's Mark bonuses if you're using.
Well, there you go. Plus your things. Yeah. So that's, you could do some serious damage with a ranger. You could do some serious damage with a ranger at fifth level. Beautiful. There's nothing before 8th, I believe, so
if you are a revised ranger, you can do a greater favored enemy. At 6th level, you're able to hunt even deadlier game. You get to choose another type of favored enemy, but you gain all the original benefits, plus that language, but your bonus to damage rolls against them increases to +4.
Ooh.
Spicy.
So if you're going with two or three attacks,
you're
now getting a plus 8 to even a plus 12 on top of the hunter's mark, which is like the damage really starts to get a little crazy there. That's, starts to become very, very good at damaging people.
Not specifically without rolls. Favored enemies. That's without rolls. That's fun. That's very fun. Very spicy. So 8th level. We've got land stride, and starting at 8th level, moving through non-magical difficult terrain costs you no extra movement. You can pass through non-magical plants without being slowed by them and without taking damage from them, their thorns, spines, or other similar hazard. In addition, you get advantage on saving throws against plants that are magically created or manipulated to impede your movement, such as created by the entangle spell.
Okay, outside of like the entangle thing, that's great, but also, my dude, you're a ranger. Like, you should be able to move through plants.
Yeah, like an eighth level ability?
Like, really? 8 levels?
Most campaigns don't make it past level 11. That means that you get like three or four levels of actually being fully mobile.
Like a ranger. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that seems like it should just be a thing.
Also, how many plants are you fighting at 8th level?
Yeah.
There are not many high CR plants
that could actually hold a candle to you at that level.
Who's casting Entangle on you at 8th level?
Other PCs?
Like you know what you should get? You should get Mooty's legs ability. That's what you should get.
That's actually better.
Sprout you should be
some
able to
spectral legs out your chest and get moving.
You should be able to cast Expeditious Retreat, or I won't spoil what the other spell is, but it would be good.
It would be very good.
However, in the with the revised ranger, you get an ability that I think should 100% be part of the ranger class, which is Fleet of Foot. You can use the dash action as a bonus action, so you get like a baby version of the rogue's cunning action.
Nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
In my opinion, very useful. You can now, because you already have the difficult terrain ability with the revised ranger, now you can move really fast.
Oh yeah, of course, because obviously it's all terrains, right? There's no real environments that would slow you down or would be difficult terrain for you. So you've kind of already got this with the revised ranger. Go with the revised ranger, guys. It's so much better.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. It's really, really good. 10th level.
This one makes me laugh, dude.
What, hiding in plain sight?
Yeah, because you can use mud, dent, plant, and soot.
You turn into PETA. From the first Hunger Games movie, where she like finds him and he's like put a bunch of cake icing on his face to look like a rock. Yeah.
So starting at 10th level, you can spend 1 minute creating camouflage for yourself. You must have access to fresh mud, dirt, plants, soot, or other naturally occurring materials in which you can create camouflage.
No Once makeup. You can't use actual makeup.
You can't use makeup, but you can use naturally occurring stuff. Once camouflage, you
eyeshadow mystifies you. But twigs,
my dude, you're a ranger. Like, I'm getting Rambo vibes. Like, you're a ranger.
Again, no makeup.
Rambo, good ranger.
Yeah, but he puts makeup on to disguise.
Okay, cool.
He needs to use actual stuff.
He needs to use mud.
I concede.
Basically, you can hide by pressing up against a surface. You get a plus 10 to stealth checks as long as you remain there without moving or taking any actions whatsoever. Once you move or take an action, you must camouflage yourself again to gain this benefit.
This is not a 10th level ability. Please walk out. Please live.
As a party, if there's someone who doesn't have Pass Without Trace at this point, then like that's an issue for you as a party. Pass Without Trace is infinitely better in every single way. This is a very, very...
It takes you very 1 minute
ridiculous.
To do this.
Yeah,
one
also,
minute.
Like, its name is kind of like deceptive. Hiding in plain sight does not like inspire like ideas of covering myself in fresh mud, dirt, and twigs. I don't get that.
You're a bush.
Here's a question I have for you, right? So... You can camouflage yourself against any solid surface, right? Such as a tree or a wall, yet you have to use only naturally occurring things. How do you use mud, fresh mud, dirt, plant, soot, or another naturally occurring material to make yourself look like a brick wall.
Like, if face brick, guys. If face brick, bright red face brick.
This is where the ranger should, in my opinion, see, I'm big on the idea of making the ranger good in all kinds of environments. As of right now, it is kind of useless in an urban environment. Like, all of its key abilities are wilderness. I understand that, but there should also be an aspect of the ranger that's like, I can survive anywhere.
Or at least an option.
Bounty hunter
and you get, like,
or something.
George of the Jungle. Like you can just navigate cities. Like, dude, there should be, like, cab drivers. You could have cab drivers all be rangers who know the city insanely well and can just, like, avoid traffic.
Very
and
cool.
And find all the back ways and, like, oh, I know the sewer system of the city and all the back roads and all the back alleys, and like you can just sneak through. Like, there's so many different applications of this. The fact that they just limit it to the wilderness, while it makes sense, I think it should be more flexible. I think you should just have a climbing speed. I think you just have some of the abilities that would make you viable in multiple environments.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it should at least be an option that you could choose to make your ranger more viable in an urban environment as opposed to just wilderness.
In fact, Deft Explorer, this I wanted to say, in my campaign, the very first campaign I ever ran, we had a ranger, and I ended up eventually giving her an ability that allowed her to camouflage herself, give her, like, immunity from being surprised, gave her, like, tremor sense. She could breathe underwater, not all at the same time. She had to, like, activate one at a time. But those are all, like, a lot of those should be automatic for this class, either the base class or subclasses. You should be able to, like, boost your boost your perception in your favorite terrain instead of just advantage on survival checks.
Yes,
that's another
thing. 100%.
That one makes zero sense to me, that you don't get a boost to perception.
100%.
You're a ranger. Your job is to look, see the thing coming, go find the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Taste
smell the thing. Taste the thing.
Deft Explorer addresses some of that, but honestly, this was a mistake.
This was a mistake.
But what's the optional feature, which is much better
the
than
optional
the
feature
original
is,
one.
Let me get this one up. So, we have Nature's Veil. Parentheses optional. Can't say the word parentheses. Jeez, I really can't say the word parentheses.
There we go.
I said it that time.
Edit the whole thing. Just use that tape. Use the word parentheses.
Yeah, thank you. I will do. So this obviously replaces hide in plain sight. You can draw from the powers of nature to hide yourself from view briefly. As a bonus action, you can magically become invisible along with any equipment you are wearing until the start of your next turn. You can use this equal to the number of your proficiency bonus, and you regain all uses at the end of a long rest.
Much better. You can do that at the beginning of a turn.
Invisible.
And then you have advantage on all attacks for that whole turn.
Yeah.
If you were a fighter and you could action surge, you could be, especially if you have, like, two-weapon fighting, you could be dropping a full 6 attacks on somebody with advantage.
With Hunter's Mark.
Ooh.
With your ability, like, the ability score added on as well. That's spicy.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
In contrast, the revised Ranger sticks with the hide in plain sight feature, except it changes it to actually be pretty good.
Okay.
When you attempt to hide on your turn, you can opt not to move on that turn. If you avoid moving, creatures that attempt to detect you take a -10 penalty to their perception checks until the start of your next turn. You lose this benefit if you move or fall prone, either voluntarily or because of some external effect. You are still automatically detected if any effect or action causes you to no longer be hidden. And if you are still hidden on your next turn, you can continue to remain motionless and gain this benefit until you are detected. So I don't think it's as good as turning invisible. Yeah. But if for whatever reason you are just in full flight from someone, like you're fleeing from a battle, or you really need to not be detected right now, you can just and they get -10 on their perception.
But that's the only way that feature works, is if you can drop against the tree and just immediately look like the tree. Do you know what I mean? Not like spend a minute barking yourself up, like putting bark on your face in the right position to like that's
just, do you know how much glue you need for that?
Ridiculous. You know what?
Also, if you take the skulker feat, this becomes really good. Because with the skulker feat, when you're hidden from a creature and miss it with a ranged weapon attack, making the attack doesn't reveal your position. So theoretically, you might be... I don't know how well it works with the... If you actually hit the creature, if that reveals your position, because it might.
But, sure.
Like, it's solid. It's not as good as turning invisible, but it is good.
Yes. Especially considering it says till the end of your next turn, which means that doesn't drop when you make attacks or anything like that. You are just invisible until the start of your next turn. It's very, 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 very good. And again, actually probably even more useful if you're in flight mode, because you can take a full turn to like get around the thing, position yourself next to the healer, any kind of things that you might need to do to get yourself out of the fire. Kind of leads me on to the next one, which I just really don't like. Vanish, 14th level. You can hide as a bonus action, and you can't be tracked by non-magical means. 14th level, hiding as a bonus action.
I mean, come on.
Rogue's got it at level 2.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That's just not... Come on. And you're not vanishing either. You're just hiding, which means you still have to make a stealth check. So you might roll a 1 and just not vanish. So therefore, you just can't use the ability. Like, it's not a thing.
It's exactly the same for the revised ranger on that one, unfortunately. It's a good ability to have, but not. It's a little
14th level.
Yeah.
14th. I think rangers should get that early doors. That I don't see any reason why rangers. You could maybe say it's only in your only in terrains. Like, I don't know if you want to be really make it different. I don't know. I don't see the thing in that one. Nothing revised for that one. Then we have Feral Senses at 18th level. You gain preternatural senses that help you fight creatures you can't see. When you attack a creature you can't see, your inability to see it doesn't impose disadvantage on your attack rolls. You are also aware of the location of any invisible creature within 30 feet of you, provided the creature isn't hidden from you and you aren't blinded or deafened.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's situational, but okay, cool.
I think that probably would have been better for 14th level.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Maybe not 18th level,
Because again, 18th level feels a little underpowered when you consider some of the mad things that you get at 18th level. for other people. Anything for the revised ranger at 18th level?
Exactly, we get the anything same.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Revised ranger is really front loaded.
Sure, and as it would seem, is the Tasha's options as well.
Yes.
And then finally, at 20th level, you get Foe Slayer. At 20th level, you become an unparalleled hunter of your enemies. Once on each of your turns, you can add your wisdom modifier to your attack roll or the damage roll of an attack you make against a creature, one of your favored enemies. You can use this feature before the attack roll or after. You can use this before or after the roll, but before any effects of the roll are applied. So,
congratulations. At maximum, you can get a +5 to either the damage or the roll of a single attack.
It's only useful if you're attacking.
Every single turn.
The actual attack roll. That's the only thing it's used. A damage at 20th level, +5 means nothing. Absolutely nothing.
It doesn't even get doubled if you crit, because you're not rolling dice.
Man, that's rough.
That's really annoying.
That's really rough.
In contrast, the Warlock, if you take at, I think, level 2, Agonizing Blast, you get to add your Charisma modifier
to
every single Eldritch Blast hit. So by level 5, you're already outpacing the 20th level Ranger ability.
I mean,
with damage.
Yeah.
Like,
that should be way higher. That should be way higher.
Much higher.
Like, that seems... And again, nothing
really
for
cool.
Revised Ranger, I don't think.
You know what would be really cool? And this actually might be broken, but honestly, at 20th level, I don't know.
Nothing's really that broken at 20th level.
You should be able to, like, auto-crit once per long
On your
rest.
Favorite enemy or something.
Any enemy. You choose an enemy. You are at Foe Slayer. I will destroy this person. I will choose to crit.
Yeah.
Like, if you hit, you can auto-crit. Yeah. Like, you have to hit them first, but then you're like, I turn this into a crit. I automatically crit on them and do a bunch of damage. That would be pretty cool.
Or, like any creature you've Hunter's Marked, you get a crit on, like, an 18 or higher or something. Do you know what I mean? So it makes it a lot more likely that, like, you would... Because you're going to be using your Hunter's Mark a lot at that level anyway, so...
It becomes, like, the Hexblade's Curse.
Yes, but it reduces increases the likelihood that you could crit. So that's your main abilities. Luckily, some of the subclasses we're about to get into have some slightly spicier, higher level abilities. Thank goodness, because that 20th level is weak, to say the least. I would say actually from like 10th level upwards, the ranger does get real meh. Even with some of the revised options. So why don't we go ahead, Jeremy? I do believe that you are doing a class from the Player's Handbook. Subclass from the Player's Handbook. So what ranger archetype are you going to be talking about today?
Yes, I'm doing the Hunter Conclave. Before I'd like to preface what I'm about to say by saying you should, anyone listening to this, for additional information on a lot of this, it's worth checking out the Dungeon Dudes video where they rank all of the they rank all of the ranger subclasses, because they make some very, very salient points, especially about the hunter. So with third level with the hunter subclass, you get Hunter's Prey. At third level, you get to choose one of the following features of your choice. First one is Colossus Slayer, which means that when you hit a creature with a weapon attack, the creature takes an extra 1d8 damage if it's below its hit point maximum. You can do that only once per turn, which means you could do it on your turn and then on an opportunity attack. So... It boosts your damage a bit. You could also pick Giant Killer, which is when a large or larger creature within 5 feet of you hits or misses you with an attack, you can use your reaction to attack that creature immediately after its attack, provided you can see it.
I don't think they're all big.
Basically, it's only useful if you're like fighting a lot of big stuff.
Let's hope they're all big.
And then Horde Breaker. Once on each of your turns, when you make a weapon attack, you can make another attack with the same weapon against a different creature that is within 5 feet of the original target and within range of your weapon. Not bad. Here's the thing about the Hunter, though. Colossus Slayer, I believe, is the only damage-increasing ability against a single enemy. I don't know why the Hunter only gets one ability that lets it specifically hunt one thing, and every other like good damage dealing ability has to do with multiple creatures. Horde Breaker is the first of those.
Yeah, That seems strange.
It's weird.
Considering a hunter, you would it is to track down and kill the one thing.
Yeah,
it's in the name, like, guys.
Hunters don't usually aren't usually like they may track a herd, but they're not usually like
they're still going after one within 15. The herd.
Yeah, I'm going
at once.
I'm going to shoot as many buffalo as possible. Just
yeah, it's so unnecessary.
Also, you know, sometimes it happens. Just thinking about all the buffalo and bison going down in the Americas, it can happen. Yeah. I guess. If you want to drive them off a cliff. But you know.
The Native Americans, look, here's the thing. If you're doing that, you're feeding a bunch of people. You're not doing it for one person. Defensive tactics is the seventh level ability. You gain one of the following features of your choice. Again, you only get one from I think, every single list. From every single feature, you get a list of options, and then you only get to pick one. Similar, I think, to the beast or to the Totem Warrior Barbarian, except the options aren't as good with this one. So at
Totem Warrior
level,
Barbarian is fun.
Yeah, really good. So with defensive tactics at level 7, you can choose Escape the Horde, which means that opportunity attacks against you are made with disadvantage. Not bad. Multi-tack defense. When a creature hits you with an attack, you gain a +4 bonus to AC against all subsequent attacks made by that creature for the rest of the turn. Also nice. Not bad. That's pretty cool. And Steel Will. You have advantage on saving throws against being frightened. I don't think that one's as useful. There are not as many situations where you're probably going to be frightened, depending on the campaign. Bad abilities, but...
There's a lot of things as well that can do that, like, that can make you not frightened and probably a bit more as well, so I wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, if you're halfling, you just already have that. So, then in multi-attack, which is what you gain at 11th level, you get to choose one of the two following up features. Volley, where you can use your action to make a ranged attack against any number of creatures within 10 feet of a point that you can see within your weapon's range. You must have ammunition for each target, and you make a separate attack roll for each target. That's kind of cool.
Okay, that could be fun.
You're like, oh, there's three people standing there. Okay, well, I'm just going...
three arrows, yeah.
But or whirlwind attack, where you can use your action to make melee attacks against any number of creatures within 5 feet of you with a separate attack roll for each target. Also cool if you're surrounded. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be surrounded, frankly, if you are a melee ranger. You're not built for that. You don't have the AC for it. Not a good idea.
Yeah. Get out of there. Yeah. Focus on getting away, not on attacking multiple things.
Yeah. Yes. And then finally, at 15th level, you get Superior Hunter's Defense. At 15th level, you gain one of the following features of your choice. Evasion, which is exactly the same as the rogue and the monk's evasion, where when you are subjected to an effect such as a red dragon's fiery breath or a lightning bolt spell, whenever you make a dex save, essentially, against an effect, you instead take half damage if you fail and no damage if you succeed. Shouldn't be a 15th level ability. Should honestly be a core ability of the ranger. The next one is Stand Against the Tide. When a hostile creature misses you with a melee attack, you can use your reaction to force that creature to repeat the same attack against another creature other than itself of your choice. So questionable. I don't know why you're standing there against multiple creatures that are all facing you down, and you're... I don't know.
It's not a dueling class. It's not like, do you know what I mean? Like, unless you're taking levels of fighter, you're going to really, or a barbarian even, you're going to really struggle to face down multiple enemies and therefore actually allow this to come into play.
Yeah, you really probably don't want to be frontline as a ranger unless you have another good frontliner to also take some of the heat off of you.
Like a barbarian. Ideally, you want a barbarian so that they can take the damage and that you can just be dealing damage.
Or like a paladin or something. And then the third one that you could choose from is Uncanny Dodge. It's the same as the rogue's uncanny
Which
dodge.
Is just
you can
the
use
same.
Your reaction to have a single attack's damage against you. Both evasion and uncanny dodge should be core abilities. This is the point that the dungeon dudes make. Many of these should be abilities of the core class, or you should just gain several of the abilities at certain levels, preferably that scale by level. So Colossus Slayer's damage does not scale. It's a D8 from level 3 until level 20.
So it's... good at level 3 and then rubbish by level 10.
Honestly, this feels like just Ranger. It doesn't even feel like it doesn't they also make the point in that video that it lacks flavor, and I agree.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel really separate from regular Ranger? What about this is different? It's basically the same thing. I had a couple of alternate suggestions. There could be like a crafting element, like you harvest parts from dead creatures to sustain your group. Like you can fashion parts that you take into items, like weapons, armor, equipment. That could be something that's cool because that's something that hunters do
as well. Traps should definitely be a thing.
Maybe it's like something similar to Artificer Infusions where you can create magical items from like dead foes that you slay. I want something that emulates actual hunters beyond just killing.
Yeah, you should absolutely be able to make, like, you should absolutely, like, be able to, there should be a cost element, but you should absolutely be able to, like, make, like, a plus one arrows, like, on the fly. Do you know what I mean? Like, things like that should absolutely be a thing that you can do.
Or poison arrows. Like, plus one ammunition.
Or poison arrows.
That would be really cool.
Anything like that.
You should also, I think, be able to cast some spells for free, like locate animals or plants, or cast without trace. Both of those are, like, key hunter abilities that would be really, really cool. Yeah. Like, cast it for free once per long rest, sure. You should get some kind of ambush ability for sure.
Yes.
Such as 100%. Like automatically critting on anyone who's surprised.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. Or advantage on attacks against creatures that haven't had their turn, which you already get with the revised Ranger. But you could also make favorite enemy part of this subclass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you make Hunter's Mark a base class feature, and then you can make the favored enemy plus the plus two damage rolls with weapon attacks against those creatures, so basically the revised Ranger version of it, make that part of this. Or maybe you can create and set magical traps. That's something that hunters do.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, like, you should there should be, like, something about drawing enemies out as well. Like, that would be, for me, is, like, them a feature. Exactly. Yeah. Like, find a way of drawing them out into your favorite terrain, into, do you know what I mean? Into your trap, into whatever. Like, that's actually a feature that I've been thinking that should be just a feature of, like, other, like, rogues should have that ability, I think.
Yeah.
Like, the ability to mechanically, so it's not like a weird fudgy DM thing where you kind of you can actually draw someone away from a location so that you don't always have to fight the bad on their lair if you can be clever and if you can work a way of getting them out. And I absolutely think that should be, for me, that's like an atypical hunter thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think they tried to kind of do that by letting you speak their language, but I 100% agree. It should be like you get advantage on deception checks or something to try and fool them into thinking you're one of them. Something like that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot more flavor that you could
It should be like you should get a spell like I've seen a language used before, but like you know, if you cast it, they make a wisdom save, and if they fail, like you put down like a trinket and it automatically takes the form of like a prized possession. You don't know what the prized possession is or something, but like this person really wants that thing that you've put down on the ground.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And
they feel compelled.
Yeah,
they feel like compelled to walk towards it.
Hunter's lure. That's what the ability.
Hunter's lure. That would be a great. I'm gonna make that spell. There we go.
Trick people like to come out of hiding. If it's not a spell, if it's like an ability that they have, kind of like the Artificer can.
Yeah.
Not just the infusions, but they can the magical trinkets thing, where they can just be like, oh, I create a tiny little magical thing.
And then maybe you could exchange those trinkets to infuse an item with magic. Do you know what I mean? To make an item a plus one item, or do you know what I mean? Something like that could be, you know, there'd be bigger cost or whatever involved, but could be really, really fun. There should definitely be like a trinket-based system for this class, I think.
The Hunter, I feel like, should be a mix of high damage and strong utility. That's what they are in real life.
It should feel a little more roguey, I think, in my opinion. Like first round of combat, you go in and you like it's very front heavy. You do you can high damage output. I guess the only difference with the rogue is that you're a bit more kind of sturdy.
Can you imagine
once you've got in there?
Stealth?
Yeah.
It gives you either lets you have expertise in stealth, or it gives you we go eloquence bard and they just give you reliable talent basically for stealth.
Yeah. Why not? If you're in especially if you're in a favored terrain or something, why on earth would you not? How would you ever? Like, if you're a skilled ranger, how would you ever fail a stealth check? Do you know what I mean? Like,
this is what
I just don't buy.
You've been trained to do.
Yeah,
you don't break
stocks.
You cover your tracks. You're a hunter.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I feel like the whole theme of this episode is just this was a mistake.
This was a mistake?
This was a mistake.
I feel like we've offered plenty of things that people could potentially throw in, which is good. Yeah. You know.
And I think a lot of these would be really fun to play.
Really fun. Yeah. I was thinking, actually, because I've been watching Attack on Titan, the first half of season four, Levi is one hell... He's definitely a ranger. Yeah. I think he might be a Horizon Stalker, Horizon Walker ranger, which is actually the subclass I'm about to talk about. Pure on the basis that if you reflavor it to not specifically be magic, a lot of the shit that he does is... he definitely bamps out of nowhere at times. Like, he definitely just appears. Like, you're like, and then you're dead. You know what I mean?
I think he might be a Gloomstalker.
He might be a Gloomstalker. It was only probably because I was doing through this subclass and I was like, I could see how this could be Levi. But two weapon fighting, you've got, I think you can get like, you can get expertise in like athletics, which would be, you know, maybe it'd be more acrobatics, but you know, there's things there.
Well, why don't you explain, why don't you go into detail about exactly this exact subclass and tell us just why it's so Captain Levi-ish?
I really, really like the Horizon Walker. I was looking at it and going, I want to play this now. I have a feeling that I want to play another one in a bit, but we'll go with Horizon Walker for now. Horizon Walker is a guard of the world that guards against threats that originate from other planes of existence that seek to ravage the mortal realm with otherworldly magics. So the only thing I would say at the top about the Horizon Walker, kind of similar to the other rangers, like, have a conversation with the DM, because things like other planes of existence might just not be something the DM is particularly thought about before. Yeah. And it would really, really suck if you pick this class and then kind of can't really use some of the abilities to its fullest potential. So I would just really kind of a piece of advice, just flag that early doors, because I know when I just started DMing, if one of my players just said, oh, I'm gonna use detect portal, which is one of the third level abilities, I'd have a heart attack and be like,
what?
You mean a portal to a different dimension? Let me get the rule book.
Or you just have to be sad and be like, yeah, sorry, there isn't one.
Yeah, sorry, there isn't. Exactly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like, you know, it's worth having a conversation, at least so that, again, the DM can kind of throw more things out there that would be useful for you. Anyway, we'll go with detect portal first. You actually get three abilities at third level, which is always fun. So detect portal, at third level, you can magically detect the presence of a planar portal. As an action, you detect the distance, direction of the closest planar portal within 1 mile of you. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again for the long rest. And then short or long rest. Yes, definitely. Again, in the right campaign, wow.
Yeah.
I will say this, you know, as a counterpoint to what I just said, in the right campaign, Horizon Walker is outrageous. It could be very, 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 very fun.
Yeah.
Then Horizon Walker magic, you gain some extra spells, so you get protection from good and evil, which is actually really good. I think that I was reading over the wording of that, it gets slept on a lot. But effectively, you cast it on a creature, they cannot be charmed, frightened, or possessed. If they already are, they then get advantage to break it as well. And you also get any aberrations, celestials, elementals, fey, fiends, or undeads all have disadvantage on attacks against that creature, which for a first level spell, it's very useful.
In Dimension 20's Unsleeping City, Riki Matsui basically saves a character by using that spell.
Yeah, like for a first level spell, it's very good. The only downside is concentration, so you couldn't cast it on everyone. Like that's the only thing. But like, if you put that on your barbarian who's running into a ghost house, you know what I mean? Like they're not going to get, you know, you have to worry about them getting possessed and suddenly turning that axe around on you. Like there's a whole bunch of advantages. So that's a really good spell. Then you get Misty Step. A ranger with Misty Step is very useful. Misty Step is a great spell.
Yeah.
Haste. Boy, so if you're two weapon fighting here, if you haste yourself, you get extra action. So you could be slinging what, 5 attacks at this point? At fifth level,
you
get
only do one additional attack with haste.
Four attacks then it would be, right? No, because it's an action.
If you're doing
with
two
haste
weapon fighting, yeah, but with haste, you only get one additional attack.
Is it really?
It specifies, yeah.
I always thought that it was, one weapon attack only. Am I thinking of a different spell?
No. It gives you another action, but if you take the attack action, specifically, you can only get one weapon attack.
I see. Yeah. I see. So it'd still be four.
Yeah, it would still be four if you're using
two weapon attacks.
Fighting.
For the duration as well, which is 1 minute. So probably the entire combat.
Minimum of three, basically.
Minimum of three. Banishment. Fun spell. Yeah, nice.
Very
fun,
good spell.
Very, very potentially very game changey spell.
Yeah.
And again, if very much in keeping with the theme, and then teleportation circle at 17th nice. Level, which is frankly, it's very good. It's the safest way to travel, everyone. Yeah. It's the safest way to travel.
Yes.
And then also at third level, so this is all still third level. As a bonus action, you can choose one creature within 30 feet of you. The next time you hit that creature with a weapon attack, all damage dealt by the attack becomes force damage, and the creature takes an extra 1d8 of force damage, which then gets scaled up. So at 11th level, it increases to 2d8s.
Like a better Colossus Slayer, basically.
Yes. Yeah. So if you've already cast Hunter's Mark, you could then use this Planar Warrior bonus action as well and add an extra d8 to this, which is good.
And it's all force damage.
It's all force damage.
It's not resisted. That's what's the key.
It literally couldn't be resisted. And it's all damage. So even if you've got a slashing weapon, it just becomes force damage, which I think is very, very useful.
Yes.
Then we have Ethereal Step at 7th level. You learn to step through the Ethereal Plane. As a bonus action, you cast the Etherealness spell with this feature without expending a spell slot, but the spell ends at the end of the current turn. Once you use this feature, you can't use it again until you finish a short or long rest. Basically, the idea with this one is that you step in between the boundary between two different planes. Mm-hmm. Everything kind of becomes weird and grey and washed out, but you can still see and hear everything from the plane of existence that you're on. But you can choose to move in any direction. Which is very cool.
Yeah.
Nothing can interact with you. Nothing can talk to you, hurt you. Except you could hear it, but nothing can hit you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this without expending a spell slot. The only difference is obviously it ends at the end of your turn, but I mean, there are so many uses for this.
Yeah.
Especially were saying, Jeremy, urban environment, this is, just drop through the floor. How many times have we said dropping through the floor really could save your life in so many instances?
like dive through the wall, drop through the floor. Oh, there's so many good.
So many uses.
The ceiling.
And this
DM
is a full,
you,
if you go on the basis that once you've cast this, you're not going to be able to attack anything because you can't interact with anything. So you might as well be taking your action as bonus action, dash, etc. You could run a full 90 feet just through anything. Do you know what I mean? If you chose to bonus action and action, just run in any direction that you like, get across any chasm, get across, do you know what I mean? There's so many uses. There's so many uses for that. Not to mention, there's a vault that we need to break into. Not a problem. Do you know what I mean? I'm in.
You want to see inside the lair? Etherealness.
Yeah.
Step in, take a quick look
around. See it. Okay, cool. Got a lay of the land. Beautiful. I'm out. So again, go in. Use your action to roll a perception, bonus action, dash back out. Very easy. There's lots of uses for that. I really like it. At 11th level, you gain the ability to pass between planes at the blink of an eye. When you make an attack, I love this. I think this is where it gets real Levi for me. When you make an attack, you can teleport up to 10 feet before each attack to an unoccupied space you can see. You're basically just doing... Oh, actually, this is kind of like Dragon Ball, really. This is like the... like the little blinks. And you're just blinking like all around the battlefield.
Nice.
So... If right now you could be, this is just an ability you gain. So there's no, there's no limit to this. This just happens.
Yeah.
So if
That's
you're,
good.
Yeah.
So
That's good.
Three attacks, you have three attacks probably. You definitely do at 11th level. You have three attacks and then you can teleport.
You would only if you're using two weapon fighting.
Sorry. If you're using a bonus action.
Look, there's an additional part to this, then.
Yes, I was just about to get on this bit, yeah.
Cool.
So if you attack two different creatures in action, you can make one additional attack to a third creature. Now that is
cool.
So freaking cool.
Very
Again,
cool.
this isn't, you don't have to do anything for this. You don't have to do anything for this. So you could easily then still use your bonus action, Planar Warrior, and get an extra D8 on one of these creatures.
And it doesn't use your movement either.
Yeah. So you could just cycle your way across the battlefield while slicing stuff up. This is, again, this is why I was thinking, Levi. He just moves through enemies like butter. which I think is very cool. And then, so finally, at 15th level, we get Spectral Defense. You move between planes, which enables you to slip through the planar boundaries and lessen the harm done during battle. When you take damage from an attack, you can use your reaction to give yourself resistance to all of the attack's damage on this turn.
It's pretty good.
I thought it could have been a bit more like fun. I feel like just because the rest of them are very like I feel like you've got the etherealness, the ethereal step, and so it, I guess flavor wise it feels a little similar. But in saying that, Big Bad charges up like a breath weapon or something like that, resistance to all damage. And you get to roll a save. Do you know what I mean? It really, 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 really could save your life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, pretty, pretty, pretty good. Pretty useful. I love the flavor of this class. I think it makes the Ranger a much more exciting prospect. Great mix of mobility and damage output on this. I think if you play this one, like, cleverly, I think the only thing is, like, with Distant Strike, it does incentivize you not to attack like one enemy, but I also think that's kind of useful. I think there are advantages though, because you kind of go like, you could occupy three enemies at once, which of three could be 10 feet apart from each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of ways you can utilize this to just sort of keep people occupied, you know, whilst they can't hit you. Like, because you are bamfing just boom, 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 like around the battlefield. Like, it's, I think it's fucking sweet.
I wish you got it at a slightly earlier. Like, I might swap Ethereal Step and Distant Strike.
Sure.
But I think we can all agree it's much cooler than the version of the Hunter that they've presented.
Yes, absolutely, I would agree.
Hunter's not like a bad sub. Well, it's not a good subclass, but it's not like a horrible subclass. It's just like, it's just meh.
It's very meh, very, very meh. But I love Horizon Walker. I think it's very, very cool. And I think in the right campaign, especially, I really love the idea of this kind of like gatekeeper of portals and of worlds. Especially like when you get to higher levels and you've, you know, when you mix in some cool feats and abilities and stuff like that, I feel like it could be a very, very cool thing. Love it. Awesome. Big fan. One more.
Yes, one more. It's the GOAT. It's the GOAT, you know?
It's the GOAT.
It's the GOAT.
It's the GOAT, baby.
The Gloomstalker Conclave. If you want to be the knight, you know? If you just wanna be the knight. This is the one for
I guess I haven't actually read this on purpose. Yeah. But is this giving me Batman? Is this giving you some Batman vibes?
It could go with Batman, it could be like John Wick, it could be a lot of people.
Ooh, Batman, okay. John Wick.
Just unstoppable killer.
Elektra. Like a lot of
maybe Daredevil. You know who could work? Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight. Kabuki from David Max Kabuki. Like, it's a load. It's delicious.
Okay. The Shadow. Tell me about it. Anybody knows the Shadow out there?
Oh, yeah, the Shadow. Yes, absolutely the Shadow. Cool. So, Gloomstalkers are at home in the darkest places, deep under the earth in gloomy alleyways and primeval forests, and wherever else the light dims. Most folk enter such places with trepidation, but a Gloomstalker ventures boldly into the darkness, seeking to ambush threats before they can reach the border world. Such rangers are often found in the Underdark, but they will go any place where evil lurks in the shadows. So starting at third level, you get Dread Ambusher. So at third level, you master the art of the ambush. You can give yourself a bonus to your initiative rolls equal to your wisdom modifier. At the start of your first turn of each combat, your walking speed increases by 10 feet, which lasts until the end of that turn. If you take the attack action on that turn, you can make one additional weapon attack as part of that action. If that attack hits, the target takes an extra 1d8 damage of the weapon's damage type.
So you're, third level.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
And at third level, as a spell, you gain disguise self.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very useful.
Yes,
very
we haven't useful. Gotten to the truly broken ability.
Oh, no, we're getting there. We're getting there. Listen here, I'm trying to tease the audience. Can I give them a moment to, like,
I'll
you
move,
know,
I'll move out of your way. You tease those.
Gloomstalker coming through, Jeremy.
You tease those.
She's got an extra 10 feet. She's got an extra 10 feet of movement. You might want to step up.
Hold a feather under their nose.
And then at third level, again, you also gain umbral sight, and I mean they'll be shit on both sides. At third level, you gain dark vision out to a range of 60 feet. If you already have dark vision from your race, its range increases by 30 feet, so 90 feet, yeah? You are also adept at evading creatures that rely on dark vision. While in darkness, you are invisible to any creature that relies on dark vision to see you in that darkness. You are the night.
That's really good. That is dumb.
That is insane.
That's not even an ability. You are just invisible in darkness.
You are the night.
To everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because anyone who doesn't use dark vision can't see.
In fact, Mooty could see you from 30 feet away. That's it.
Yeah.
Basically, you would need some sort of either thermosense, or you would need tremorsense, or
yeah,
that's the only, and that is a very rare ability.
Yeah. Or true sight.
True sight. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
And the thing is, that means everyone who attacks you has disadvantage in all of their attacks mm-hmm. against you. Mm-hmm. You have advantage on
you
all
advantage
of your attacks.
All
against
of your attacks.
Them.
Mm.
Also, your stealth rolls all have advantage.
Exactly.
No
this is stupid.
This is so Batman vibes. Just bust the lamps as you go. Do you know what I mean? Like, bust the lamps mm-hmm. first. Make that your first thing you do in combat is just put out the torches.
Where is the
snuff
light?
Snuff the torches out. Get yourself a Did they get a prestidigitation?
No,
I don't think they do.
No,
because that would have been dumb. Because you could have just snuffed out. Because you could snuff out like candles and torches
yeah,
and
don't
stuff.
Get, they don't get,
like
they don't
as
get
a cantrip.
Candles.
Well, I mean, like if you were playing a Gloomstalker Ranger who was a Tiefling, you would be able with your Thaumaturgy, you'd be able
you
to take out the lights.
There we go. Yeah. Gloomstalker Tiefling.
Yeah.
Or just only operate at night.
Yeah, just go out in the dark.
Just be, and if the party goes inside someplace, if the place has windows, just post up outside and look inside, because they won't be able to see you if they look out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, sorted.
You just stood there so staring good. At them. This is horrifying.
I know.
It's so good.
Horrifying.
Oh, my God.
In the season of Dimension 20, there's a character who is a Gloomstalker Ranger,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the most, like, unstoppable combat forces in that entire show.
Stupid.
Like, the entire show's history. So good.
Stupid. Absolutely stupid.
Tell me more.
Yes,
tell me
yes,
more.
Yes.
This is so exciting.
Okay. Then at fifth level, as a spell, you gain Rope Trick. Bringing us to Iron Mind. Bringing us to seventh level. So you gain Iron Mind at seventh level. You have honed your ability to resist the mind-altering powers of your prey. You gain proficiency in wisdom saving throws. If you already have this proficiency, you instead gain proficiency in intelligence or charisma saving throws, your choice. Could be
solid.
Useful.
Yeah, solid.
Not as good as the early stuff. But still.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Yeah,
I mean, they
true.
Have to make
but
up for the
got
fact
a lot.
That they literally just broke you like a third level.
Yeah. They already got a lot.
You're going to be riding on those early abilities for a while.
For a really
honestly.
Long time, riding out that high. And then at ninth level, as your ranger spells, you gain fear. Then at 11th level, you gain Stalker's Flurry. At 11th level, you learn to attack with such unexpected speed that you can turn a miss into another strike. Once on each of your turns, when you miss with a weapon attack, you can make another weapon attack as part of the same action.
What?
Does
That's ridiculous. This is getting nearly getting into unreliable territories with attacks.
Ridiculous.
Because I think there is a rogue ability that you can just choose to hit.
That's like their 20th level, yeah. Isn't it? You can turn a hit into a miss. Yeah. This is very good.
Very, very good. Then at 13th level, as if you already went the night, you gain greater invisibility.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point.
I think, do you even need it?
Literally. That's what I was thinking. I guess the big benefit here is you can cast on someone else greater invisibility.
Yeah.
So, like, someone is next to you, like, okay, look, listen, I got this, but you need this.
Also, like, now it makes you viable during the day because greater invisibility lasts even if you attack. So you can just cast it on yourself, sneak into an area, and then just post up while the rest of the group is doing whatever.
Yeah.
Then once the combat breaks out, you just start blasting.
Yeah.
This is full.
I've gone from Batman to Bane. You think you were born in the dark? You think you were made in the dark? I was born in it. Yeah. This is a dark character. Flavor-wise, this has to be a dark. Yeah. I just don't see how you make a chirpy.
Oh boy, here I go killing again.
Not again.
Crombopulous Michael. Actually, no. You're right. It's also very similar to. I guess this won't have been released by the time we release this, but an upcoming character that I play.
Oh, yeah. And trust me, folks, it is dark.
Super dark.
It is super dark.
Super dark. Just really cheerfully slaughtering people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then at 15th level, you gain Shadowy Dodge. Starting at 15th level, you can dodge in unforeseen ways with wisps of supernatural shadow around you. Whenever a creature makes an attack roll against you and doesn't have advantage on the roll, you can use your reaction to impose disadvantage on it.
Mm.
You must use this feature before you know the outcome of the attack roll.
It's solid. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, like...
I don't know how often you'll need it.
Yeah, but I think with Gloomstalker, like you're front loaded. Like you start really solid from the top. Like you're in there. Like level three, you're like, here we go.
I also think there's not a whole lot rangers can do with reactions. So I don't feel like you're losing anything majorly if you use it.
Yeah.
And then not only that, like if you're up against a creature that like can really hit you.
Yeah.
Like, that could be, you know, again, could be something that saves you. Not that they can see you, not that, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
honestly, like, this mixed with, I think, and this is something we haven't said yet, but the Ranger is like, I think you mentioned that it's already kind of like multiclassing. I think the Ranger, more so than most classes, is really, you almost need to multiclass it to make it really work in a lot of cases, to make it feel like its own thing. I think with the Gloomstalker, you would be... you could still have an extremely successful character, possibly an even more successful character, if you just go to level 5 with it, and then like multi-class into rogue that gives you better burst damage, or like paladin that can give you better burst damage with smite, or fighter with action surge. I don't know if you need barbarian necessarily, but there's a lot of stuff you can do.
Yeah,
I don't know. I kind of like the idea
an
of this like
barbarian.
Mad, like just charging around in the darkness, just absolutely cleaving through enemies. They just can't see it. Like they can hear it coming.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then, as a cherry on the cake, at 17th level, you gain the seeming spell.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can just disguise your posse. You know. Just be like, you look like this, and you look like this, and you look like this. Everybody's disguised.
Yeah.
And it's useful that it doesn't count towards the spells that you know as well. So you've just got these things; they're just there in the bag.
Yeah.
They're very, very
good,
useful.
Fun times.
The spells I would say are very, very good. Not as good as like the Horizon Walker.
Horizon Walker Rangers, the ones are better. Yeah.
But Dread Ambusher and Umbral Sight are two of the best third level abilities that
you can just go to. Honestly, you could go to third level with this class
and
just focus on something else, and you would have a. It's a very broken, very, on nearly anything.
I would
suggest
fifth so you get extra attack quicker.
Oh, yes, that is true.
That would be the only reason why I'd say go to fifth. But you have a beast. It's an absolute beast.
Yeah.
This is terrifying. truly, truly terrifying. I like it. We've been recording for a while, so I think we'll. This will probably be a. I think this is a pretty good overview of the Ranger, and there's been a lot of a lot of things that we've suggested that you could add or you could change. There's a lot to complain about. But I do think it's something that I think it is very versatile in terms of the way you might play a Ranger, which is a big draw for me. And then I would just say that with most of this, like, have a conversation with, like, DMs and players have conversations, because I think that the last thing a DM wants is having to play some mental gymnastics trying to make your Ranger more fun, and I think the last thing a player wants is not feeling like their character is fun. So I think if you know you want to play a Ranger, just have that conversation with the DM, see if there's a few things you can trade out or use from the revised Ranger. And even just get a sense of the campaign. Do you know what I mean? See what kind of Ranger might work. I'd say, like, you know, the Gloomstalker would work really, really well in some campaigns, but not so well in other campaigns. Like, if you're doing a super bright, cheerful, happy campaign, the Gloomstalker is going to be rubbish. If you're not going to be in darkness, then, you know, it's
all combat
useful.
All the time. That's what it is.
Absolutely. So I'd say it needs a conversation, does Ranger, just to help it out. But like, there's a lot of fun options here. Any closing thoughts on the Ranger, guys?
Gloomstalker.
Before we wrap this one up. Gloomstalker. Yeah. Good thought.
This class more so than any other class makes me want to homebrew things. Most of the time, I'm like, I'll only homebrew if I need to. Like, I really want to make, like, a homebrew hunter or, like, a re-revised ranger or something. But look, it's better.
Maybe we'll do it. I think maybe we'll do a TBH ranger. maybe we'll do that.
With the improvements they've made, it's better than how it started. But it still has a ways to go, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I would say as well, I just quite like this, which is like the way a lot of the later stuff is written, like in the Gloomstalker, where it says like, hey, if you already have an ability that's like this, this is how you can get around it. I just think that's quite good. And I just sort of generally say, like, I'd encourage players and DMs to sort of be a bit more like, hey, you can substitute that thing. Like, we did it with Muti, for instance, when I doubled up on Dark Vision, I ended up getting like a blind sight.
No, you're right. Blind sight.
Yeah, blind sight.
The antennae.
And just things like that, I think, are potentially something that could take a ranger from being like, yeah, good, to like very, very good. You know, if you could substitute a little thing and go, like, that doesn't really kind of work for me. So I think you can, I think this one more than most, you can get away with being a little bit more flexible just to make it more viable in terms of your party. And I think, especially some of those early abilities, you've got to take the revived ranger ones because so dumb that you can't move through plants. Until like, you can't move through plants.
Or was that what level?
10th level, I think.
I don't remember.
You're literally you're Rambo.
It's much too late. It's much too late.
You telling me Aragorn got caught in bushes?
What do you mean? Like some shrubbery.
In the first two movies, Aragorn got caught in bushes because he was too low level.
Tripped into a bramble. Like, what happened?
Landstride, 8th level.
Come on. That's like a year of play. Come on.
If you start at level 3, that's a long play. And then everyone at 8th level is going to be around the table talking about all these abilities. And you go, oh, I don't get tripped up by plants. Fun. But yeah, let us know about your Ranger builds. Let us know what multi-classes you've done, what homebrew things that you've thrown out to help improve your Ranger and have fun playing a Ranger. I'd love to hear what other people have, because I actually genuinely, after this, despite the complaints, I actually genuinely want to play a Ranger. I haven't really done a combo class before, like a mixed martial and spellcasting class, and I like the vibe of the Ranger, and I want it to work, so I'm gonna go and make a Levi and
report back
and make it good, and then
let us know what features that we didn't like that we were completely wrong about and that are actually awesome.
Yeah,
yes, yeah. Look, yeah,
if
yeah,
you enjoy this subclass, yeah. if you enjoy this please. Class, by all means, do enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And let us know why.
Jeremy sat at a little desk right now, which has a sign on the front saying, I hate the Ranger class, change my mind. So that has been our deep dive into Rangers. Please head over to the Patreon. We will be doing at some point very soon a deep dive into the rest of the Ranger classes, subclasses, as we've got a few more to get to. I hope that you've enjoyed this. Don't forget that you can find us at on the social medias at TB Halflings, and our Patreon is patreon.com/TB Halflings. Anything else to shout out, guys?
No.
Love you.
Yeah, we Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye.
Be so long, good. Shire of Folk.
So long, Shire Folk. Meow, 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 meow.
So long, Shire Folk.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.